Thanks for joining us on episode 901 of the Inspired Stewardship Podcast.
Hey, I'm Roger Whitney. I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and impact the world by using your time, your talent, and your treasures to live out your calling. Having the ability to work for your future is a key. Having the ability to work for, one more set. Having the ability, I'll pause a second. Having the ability to work for your future is key. And one way to be inspired to do that is to listen to this, the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with my friend, Scott Mader. Realization in my mid-40s of, Roger, you got a decision to make here. You could stay doing this for the next 20 years, have a good life, have lots of fun, provide for your family, and not have to... You have a lot of time freedom. What would your 65 or 70 year old self think of? I was like,
welcome and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world.
In today's episode, I asked Roger about why and how you can balance your own needs and still serve others while living and planning for retirement. I also asked Roger to share how we can improve our communication around life and money. And Roger also shares what stewardship means to him and lots more.
One reason I like to bring you great interviews like the one you're going to hear today is because of the power in learning from others. Another great way to learn from others is through reading books. But if you're like most people today, you find it hard to find the time to sit down and read. And that's why today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to inspiredstewardship.com/audible to sign up, and you can get a 30-day free trial. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and instead of reading, you can listen your way to learn from some of the greatest minds out there. That's inspiredstewardship.com/audible to get your free trial and listen to great books the same way you're listening to this podcast.
Anyone who thinks retirement planning is boring clearly hasn't had a conversation with the retirement answer man. And his not-so-alter ego, Roger Whitney. His fun, fresh perspective on money and life turns financial planning from something people need to do to something they can't wait to do. Roger breaks with traditional financial planning in asserting that there is no, quote, magic number or accurate retirement calculator. There is just you and your financial planner having the right conversations, finding confident answers to meaningful questions, and setting your priorities according to how you want to live and keep living your life long after you stop working. So last week, we were talking a lot about the number of retirement and how we can look at it ourselves and having that agile mindset about our own lives and what we're doing. And a lot of what we talked about on purpose was about us, so focusing on ourselves. But I also think there's a danger sometimes with retirement planning or even present day thinking that can cause us to focus so much on just ourselves or our family or our needs and what do I want? So how do we also balance that with still the philosophy that, again, I believe is the right one, which is we should also serve and help and give and work with others and, you know, take care of the wider community and our neighbor as well.
So last week we talked about the seesaw and straddling that. And so this seesaw, you're doing the same thing. You're standing on the middle of the teeter-totter, trying to keep both ends balanced. But this time, one end is serving your family and having your house in order, and the other end is serving others. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of places where they happen concurrently.
Sure.
And I think the way to approach this, or the way I think about it is, if you think of the speech that you get if you've ever been whitewater rafting, Have you ever been whitewater rafting, Scott?
I have not been whitewater rafting. It's on my list, okay. But I haven't been.
Okay. I've done a lot of whitewater rafting, not by design. It just worked out that way. So usually you go to the outfitter and get your gear. They put you on a bus and they have to drive to where they're going to put you in the lake or the what? Not the lake, the river, mm-hmm. the raging.
I was going to say, if it's a whitewater, yeah. it'd be a weird lake. Yeah, but okay, I got you.
And during that drive, you get the speech. And the speech
is the speech essentially stay in the boat.
That's always option one. That's the best option. But the speech is essentially, look, we're going to be on these waters. This is how you stay in the boat and et cetera. And it's about you staying in the boat first before you grab somebody else. And then the other speech is, if you get thrown in the water, this is how you need to navigate yourself in the water. You need to, you know, sit back on your back. You have to have your feet up. Try to navigate yourself. Just swim your butt back to the boat as quick as possible. If that doesn't seem possible, swim to the shore as quick as possible. What you don't do is sit there and wait for us to rescue you. Because I got this many other people on the boat.
Probably ain't gonna happen.
And so essentially the speech is take responsibility for rescuing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can help you, we will. And so when I think of this, how do you balance and integrate serving your family, but serving your community? You have to take care of yourself first. You have to have your house in order to really serve the community. No different. They have lots of analogies here. The drowning person, they usually pull down their rescuer if the rescuer mm-hmm. doesn't mm-hmm. know what they're doing.
Yeah, I was a lifeguard, so I actually know that one.
All right, so you get that one. So I think, and I struggle with this too, because it's easy just to focus on my house in order. But I do think the more you're a good steward of having your house in order, the more you're actually able to help people
right.
in a more impactful way. So they go together. Mm-hmm. The danger is, just like the teeter-totter, some people sacrifice their own security and future giving their time, we think money, but giving their time and their money mm-hmm. to everybody else, because there's great need out there always.
Mm-hmm.
Some people sacrifice themselves. So their teeter-totter is way out of whack. And then the flip side is some people are so concerned or focused on their house and getting that in order that they ignore everything else. So it's trying to find that same kind of balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it can even happen in some ways within a family. Again, it's the parent that sacrifices everything for their children, but then now ends up with their own, that's the quote sandwich generation, where now all of a sudden they have to live with their kids because they've done nothing to prepare for their own future either.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a balance between letting people own their problems rather than you solving them. Yeah. That's a very good analogy of, and I see that a lot in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a good place, but it's destructive really for both people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of relationships and how that works and whether it's within a family or between others, I always find it's interesting. If you go to the site that I shared last week, and I'll share at the end of the episode, and take a look at Roger's site, he has resources that I will say are not typically what you listed on a retirement focused website, like investing in relationships and communication and other things. So why in the world do you focus on relationships so much as part of the overall picture of retirement?
It's not about retiring or surviving retirement. It's about, we call it, how do you rock retirement? How do you create the best life that you can? And if you think of retirement, that's really the phase where you've sowed and accumulated and built your wealth over decades. Retirement is that phase when you're reaping, when mm-hmm. you're using your resources to create the representation of your life during retirement, which is a representation of all your values that you have, and you're living out those values. People forget that. They forget that we're supposed to use these resources, and we're supposed to use those resources, obviously, to be able to eat and have a home, but we're also supposed to use those resources to create a life because you only get one shot at it and you're at the last third of life. It's a finite time. And if you retire at 60, say, really your finite time is 10 to 15 years because that's when you're going to have enough energy and be healthy enough, God willing, that you can actually go do things. Mm-hmm. And relationships are, in every study I see, are what make people have a great life. It's the big component is having really good relationships. So it makes sense to focus there.
And similarly, you talk a lot about communication. And how can people actually begin to improve their communication, maybe within their own family or with others, about life, about money, about these sorts of, because these are not easy topics to talk about.
You know, they really aren't, because usually one, let's take a marriage. We'll use a marriage as an example, because usually one spouse is the project manager for the finances. Mm-hmm. Because there's a delegation of duties because there's so much to do in a family. So it's easy to, and plus one usually has more interest in it than the other one. And so the way that you have healthier conversations, in my opinion, and this is from almost 31 years of marriage, and I've tried every other way. The way that you have healthier conversations has a couple aspects to it. Number one is back to that iterative, agile framework that we talked about last week. Is my secret to a good marriage, Scott, I'm going to share it with you here, is I never want to have a big conversation with my wife. If I can avoid, honey, we need to talk. If I can avoid that, I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job. And the way that you avoid those conversations is by having lots of little conversations that are beyond just simply what do you want for dinner or where are we going this weekend. And if you think about when you've gotten married, and you can use this for friends and children as well, but when you get married, everything's roses and you're walking hand in hand and you're actually skipping because you're so happy that you've found this wonderful person. But what ends up happening as you're walking life together is we forget that each person, even in a marriage, has their own internal life going on in their head. And in the busyness of careers and children and everything else, it's easy to not check in on who that person is. Mm. And so if you can picture yourself walking together with your spouse, it's very easy to start to walk slightly different directions. Very, very subtle.
Right.
And if you don't have these little conversations to check in, you start to get a little bit farther apart, just a little by little, until something triggers it and you have to have a big conversation because you're like, wait, I thought we wanted this. You want that? Who are you? Right. And so by having these little conversations, you can continually have sometimes little uncomfortable conversations that can keep you walking hand in hand. And that's really the key of it. So I'm trying to remember the book that I read this in. There's a difference between something that's painful and something that's harmful. So like sometimes, and I've had many of these moments, and I have no doubt you have as well, Scott, where my wife or I have to address something with the other person. That's a minor issue. Maybe it's not super minor, but it's an issue. There's pain in having to do that. It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They might get mad. I feel like I just feels uncomfortable. So it's very easy to avoid that pain, that momentary pain. Just like it's easy to avoid the dentist and getting a root canal. That's painful.
Or going and talking to a retirement planner.
Exactly. So it's easy to avoid those little conversations, but like the dentist, a root canal is on the short term painful, but very beneficial to you. Whereas on the short term, doing the pleasurable thing of ignoring the issue and just going out to dinner and talking about something else is pleasurable in the moment, but is long term harmful. Mm. And so the key for myself, and I'm not going to say I'm great, I'm the best at it, is having these little conversations so you're attuned and you're actually walking hand in hand. And then the next aspect of that, Scott, is you have to do that, but you actually have to listen. You actually have to listen and not just simply wait to respond. Because you're trying to understand life from their perspective so you can integrate that with your own. I'll use myself as an example. My wife and I are having these discussions about, do we stay here or do we move to Colorado? I'm like, let's move to Colorado. I know she loves it there, and she does, but she doesn't want to. And I have, so I want to, she doesn't want to. And we have these little conversations about it, and I'm understanding her reasons not to. Her sister lives here. Her mother lives here. They're in their 70s and 80s. And that's, she doesn't want to do anything while she has that period of time to be with them, which is perfectly legitimate. But by, you have to tease those things out so I understand from her perspective, because I'm not trying to win. I'm trying to make sure that we get both of what we want. So right now what we're doing is spending a month or so in Colorado every year. So that's our compromise. But you have to have those little conversations, because otherwise they just become resentments.
Right. So one of the questions that I try to ask all of my guests, and last week you actually used the word, you know, stewardship, being a steward of our resources. And my brand, Inspired Stewardship, I, you know, that's one of the lenses, one of my values that I live my life with. But as I've learned, I started asking people for their definition of the word, and I get lots of different definitions. So as part of that, I like to explore this word. So how would you define the word stewardship, and how has it impacted your life or your thinking?
I knew you were going to ask this question about stewardship. I knew this was coming, and I intentionally did not look it up in the dictionary.
Good for you. Avoid the temptation.
What's become real to me is that life is short, sometimes unexpectedly, but even a natural life is short. And the younger you are, the more time feels infinite. It's easier to waste. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm 54, it doesn't feel so easy to waste. The way I think of stewardship is intentionally creating the best version of yourself over a period of time, which I have a plaque here. I'm grabbing a plaque. I spent time thinking of my top 10 values. Okay. I spent some time thinking about this, and I'll read a couple of them to you. Relationship with God, quality relationships, adventure, laughter, freedom, service, fitness, continuous improvement, bravery, positive attitude. So the way I think of stewardship is my being intentional in how I create my life, allocate my resources, both financial and non-financial, to live out these values. And at the end of my life, if I'm successful, I can look back and said, I used this journey to actually live out those values and give them to the world in the best version I was able to. Because what, and this is, I think, important in retirement, because what ends up happening in retirement, to bring it back to that from a steward perspective, most people that are successful accumulators, sowers, some of that just comes out of self-discipline. Some of it comes out of fear, self-denial. All the things that make you a good sower are not the things that make you a good reaper. And it's easy without the right perspective to continue to act that way in retirement. In fact, there are a lot of triggers that encourage you to act that way. Because if you think about when you retire, it's a scary situation. Mm-hmm. You lose your superpower of your income, which is a lot of agency that you've probably earned for decades. So you have all, suddenly you have no income. You're not saving anymore. You lose all your friendships and work, and you lose a lot of your purpose if you're not careful. All of those things make you a little fearful. And it's very common, because of how retirement planning is typically framed, that we're so worried about being destitute when we're 80 that we keep saving for, or 90, we keep saving for that rainy day and denying ourselves creating the experiences with our family and with friends and with the community until we get to an age, let's say it's 80, and realize, oh, wow, we don't have to save for a rainy day anymore. We're going to be okay. And you actually end up overshooting and dying with too much money. Mm. So I think being a good steward is about navigating that so you can take advantage of when the sun's shining and create those experiences and the impacts that you want while you're healthy and active enough to be able to do it and not and still be okay later on in life. Because I don't think it's being a good steward dying with too much money. And it's like trying to land an airplane, I would imagine, on an aircraft carrier. It's a constant adjustment. And I think most people miss that. So I think being a good steward is trying to manage that so you make the most of the only life you have. Does that coincide with anything that you think about stewardship?
It does. There's obviously there's a lot of different ways to define it. I'll share my definition is that being a good steward is recognizing that the resources that you've been blessed with, time, money, whatever, energy, skills, are not yours in terms of ownership, but they're yours in terms of management. You've been blessed with them and your job is to manage them in a way that not just blesses you and your family, but also blesses the world in some tangible way. And that doesn't necessarily mean giving away all your money. That doesn't necessarily, it doesn't mean you live in a cave and only come out on triple coupon Tuesdays, but it is about managing those resources in a way that facilitates both taking care of yourself as well as taking care of others. So it's the teeter-totters that you've talked about. It is living on those teeter-totters all the time, because at the end of the day, what you've been given isn't yours anyway.
It's half time. I can tell you my personal story on stewardship. Sure. And how I pivoted really over the last 7 years. For most of my life, I was just wanting to be able to feed my family. I wanted to be able to be successful enough to be able to feed my family and do things. And then we got to, and I own a business, and that's a different, whole different kind of journey than corporate, the corporate world. And so in my mid-40s, we had hit the inflection point in our business where suddenly I found myself with a lot of time and a lot of free cash flow. And I did lots of triathlons. I did adventure racing. I had a lot of time and money to be able to go just play a little bit. And I suddenly had this realization in my mid-40s of, Roger, you got a decision to make here. Because you could stay doing this for the next 20 years, have a good life, have lots of fun, provide for your family, and not have to have a lot of time freedom. Mm-hmm. And that would be cool. But what would your 65 or 70 year old self think of? I was like, and it came up and I just sort of threw the thought aside, and then it just kept haunting me, and I had to lean into this. And so a lot of what drives me, Scott, is I don't want my 70-year-old self to say, okay, yeah, you had a lot of fun and you did some cool things, but what could you have done? Mm. And that started this whole adventure. We just had our 7-year anniversary on the Retirement Answer Man podcast. So the podcast, and it started the adventure of, you know, creating the Rock Retirement Club and all sorts of things. So I'm working hard in the book and all this stuff. I'm working more than I ever have in my life. Financially, I don't need to, but it's constantly, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And so I think that was a stewardship question.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree with that 100%. And the other thing is, I think our definition changes at different phases in our life. And yes. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. You can find out more about Roger and what he does over on his website at rogerwhitney.com. He's also active on Twitter as Roger_Whitney, or you can find his podcast anywhere great podcasts are found under the Retirement Answer Man. I'll have links to all of this over in the show notes as well. Roger, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listener?
You got one shot at it. Don't waste your life. You can do it.
Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures. Develop your influence and impact the world.